Thank you.
storm service. And so, Lord, so good to us. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Just appreciate everyone at their post of duty and everyone expressing their love for God and for this assembly and sharing their gifts with one another, with the church. Amen. We want to go ahead and open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Just continue to remember the prayer requests that Brother Daniel had brought before the church earlier. Just keep those things before the Lord. Genesis chapter 2, begin reading verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should dwell alone, or should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "Now this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." And I want to read from Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 19. Paul says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principality or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head to the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." I want to pray just for a moment. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we just want to open our hearts to you and just ask God that you would come in and speak to us. Lord, that you'd have your way in the service this morning. We're gathered here, Lord, not in our own name, but we're gathered here in thy name. And we're asking, Lord God, that you'd come and speak to our hearts, that you would visit us with your Holy Spirit, that you'd quicken this word to us, Lord. Cause us to sit in heavenly places and, Lord, to receive what you have for us today. We love you, Lord, and we're asking, God, that you bless each one of those that are here and those that are streaming. We ask, Lord, that you just be the master of all situations and for this service today, and us your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. Today, we're going to call this to be a helpmate part two. It'll be part two from what we started last week. And I want to ask that each one of you to try to pay attention, try and stay with me this morning as I move along through what I want to share with you. Because we know we live in a time where all things and everything is happening and everything that the Lord is doing is basically leading us to the place where we know who we are. And remember, Brother Ram said that when the bride knows who she is and what she is, then the rapture will go. And I always thought that was good. As I've mentioned many times, they didn't say the rapture would come, but it would go, because the rapture is here. We're in that cycle now. And so we just want to thank the Lord for that. So I said last week to be a helpmeet or to be a helpmate. And I said, really, to be his helpmate really is what we're talking about. But these things, natural, typing, spiritual, so we go back and forth between them. So I would say, you know, it's pretty lofty, pretty high mark to say that there would be a helpmate for the King of the universe, for the Creator of all things. And I think it would be kind of far-fetched for anyone or any person or for humanity or for any portion of creation to rise up and say, I'll be that. I'll be the helpmate for the King of the universe. But yet, the Scriptures let us know that he does. He has a helpmate that he's seeking for. And so we want to talk about that today. As we've said so many times, we read in the Scripture that God said it is not good that man should be alone. So we realize that even though it doesn't say that Adam was lonely, we realize he was, because God said it's not good for man to dwell by himself. And we also understand that Adam's loneliness here on earth was representing what God expressed in heaven, and that God was going to show us through Adam and through Eve and through the different things here in the natural and on this earth, he was going to show us what his divine plan was supernaturally for his desires. And so realize that Adam was lonely. And so God said, I will. It's not good that he be alone. So I will make a helpmeet for him, or a helpmate. We say it, but the Scripture says helpmeet. I'll make it helpmeet for him. So God had a solution to this loneliness that Adam had, which means that God had a solution for his loneliness, his desire. And you know, it's kind of strange to think that God would be lonely. And I remember Brother Graham saying, and I've mentioned it many times, that he said, God did not take 7 days or 7,000 years. It didn't take him that long, but he took that long.
Yeah.
See, he could have done it in a microsecond if he wanted to. But he took that long because it was setting out a pattern of the numerologies of seven. That he worked 6 days and then there would be a seventh, which would be a day of rest and so forth. So he took that long for a reason. And so God doesn't necessarily have to have us. He doesn't necessarily, if he's lonely, well, he could just change that or whatever. But you realize that he limited himself to these things because we can understand that. He made us in a way so that we know what it's like to be lonely. We know what it's like to have a desire for fellowship.
Right.
And he put that in us so that you could understand him having a desire for fellowship. Right? And so we see that. He has a desire for fellowship, and he was lonely. And so he's showing those things through this that we're talking about. So he said, he had a solution. He said, I'm going to make a helpmeet for him. And so you realize that whatever Adam was lacking, he had this lonely spot inside him that he could not fill. And God's answer to filling that loneliness was that he would provide him a wife. He would provide and help me. And so that was God's answer. And so this helpmate has something that supplies the need of Adam. And so what we're saying here is that the bride of Christ has something that he needs, something he's limited himself to so that he can redeem us. And so there's something that Jesus Christ cannot have until he has this wife. He cannot be satisfied. His loneliness cannot be quenched until he has her by his side, this one who is part of him to begin with. And so we see that's what these Scriptures are telling us, that this helpmate has to be someone that can supply what he's lacking and help him do things that he couldn't do by himself. Again, God limited himself, right? We know that Jesus said it in one place, and said he couldn't do many mighty miracles or works there because of their unbelief. So he limits himself to things because that's his program. You know, I was listening the other day, and Brother Graham was talking about he is the Lord of the harvest. And he said, he's standing there and he's telling his disciple, he said, you pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers in the field to help us get this harvest done.
Right.
And Brother Branham said, he sat in there telling the disciples, you pray to the Lord of the harvest, and he was the Lord of the harvest. Mm-hmm. And so, and Brother Branham's, his comments on that was, is that God has so arranged it so that his program cannot move without us.
Right.
So he limited himself to that. So this thing's not going to end up until this bride becomes that helpmate to the Lord Jesus Christ in every aspect, every facet that is required to be that. It's just not going to move without it. I was remembering the scriptures there when it was Abimelech that he took Sarah and was going to marry her. And the Lord said to Abimelech, you know, you're good as a dead man because that's another man's wife. Remember that?
Yeah.
And so he said, Lord, out of the integrity of my heart have I done this. And he said, I know that that's why I kept you from sinning again. And he said, but you restore to that man his wife and let him pray for you. Because if he doesn't, you're gone. You're all done for. You're dead.
Right.
And so the thing was, why didn't God just heal him? But the healing of Abimelech had to come through the prayer of Abraham. So God's program, you know, he has things in place, and it just can't happen unless it comes through the channel that God has laid it out for it to come through.
That's right.
And so this whole thing's not going to happen until she comes to that place to where she is truly that helpmate to the Lord Jesus Christ. How can that be? How could we ever become the helpmate to the creator of the universe? And yet, that's exactly what it is in Scripture, that God is, he said, I will provide this for myself. I'll provide one. A wife is without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. And so this helpmate is someone to help him do what he couldn't do by himself.
Right.
So God limited himself so there's certain things he cannot do without her.
Right.
But with her, he can.
Yeah.
And so that's a helpmate. And it's, you know, like I said, it seems so great. You got these men in the message, you know, they run around like some tyrant over their wife, you know, look at me, I'm the man and you're nothing. And I got news for it. That's not the way it is. That you can't do half of what, just half of what you should do unless you have that mate, that wife. She's the key to those things. And we see this in the scripture. So we have to accept this and realize that as humble as we are or should be and as low as we are, but for him to say, you're my choice, and yes, I want you to be my wife, and you're saying, me in my condition, you want me to be the wife of the King of the universe? How can that be? But we have to accept it, and the reason why we accept it is because he is speaking to us his word and asking us and calling us to be that.
Yeah.
That's how you know that you're his choice, because he's revealing these things to you. If you're not his choice, he wouldn't be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you know that. And so we'll cover that a little bit more as we go through here this morning. So, helpmate is to help provide something he doesn't have. So you see, God made man and woman, each one with lacking. And he made it so that which the man lacks, the woman has, and what the woman lacks, the man has. And this guarantees that there's an attraction there. And so all kinds of facets of how that attraction works, whether it be just the woman's need for security or a man's need for fellowship or whatever it is, there's all kinds of attractions there that God put there for that reason. And so if you pull away from that plan, if you've got a need as a man, how's that ever going to be fulfilled if you never have a wife or you never have that companionship? And I realize there are some men, according to scriptures, that are gifted to not be married. We understand that. I'm not talking about that because most of humanity, and I do mean most, they are intended to marry because that's the whole plan, was to be fruitful and multiply. But God does have a few that are called to be unmarried.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not trying to deny that, but I'm just saying for most of us, God has called us and we have a desire. And so if we never find that one who is our helpmate, we'll never be fully what we're supposed to be. It can't be. I don't care what people say. Well, I don't need it. You're lying. You're deceived.
Right.
A man needs a helpmate. The scripture said so. We live in his universe. He's right. And a woman needs a husband. As we read last week, let every woman have her own husband and let every man have his own wife. Right? And so God made man and woman each to have those things. And this guarantees that there's an attraction because each one supplies the needs of the other. And so we realize that for our part to be here on this earth, our whole duty as man is to fear God, give Him glory, right? We know the Scripture's talking about that. But our purpose here on life, in life, is to become that helpmate for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our purpose is. This is not something else. It's, once we come to the revelation of Jesus Christ and realize what we're on this earth for, we realize we are not here to try and satisfy our own desires and try and have our own way and be independent. Our desire is not to be independent. We've got to have Him.
Right.
And so if you have a church that says, I don't need the Word, that's a deceived church. If you have a woman that says, I don't need a husband, I don't need a man, I'm independent, that's a perversion. It is. I know that smacks in the face of the... But I'm not preaching to the world. I'm preaching to the bride of Jesus Christ,
right,
what I believe to be. And so... So any man or any woman says, I don't need that other one. And you see why Satan is pushing so hard in this day to make it acceptable that there is another lifestyle besides man and woman, husband and wife. Because everything Satan does is to go right in the face of what's truth and what God has established. And I don't care how much Satan builds up and gets people to believe all that nonsense, it's still wrong. And what's right is right. As I was saying to some guys at work the other day, I said, if it was wrong in my great-grandmother's day, it's wrong today.
Yeah.
And it is. But if it's right back then, it'd be right now. Amen. And so, if we're seeking something else besides fulfilling our desire in this life, then we're failing at our life's calling.
Right.
That's right. I'm driving by this morning, I seen a bunch of motorcycle guys sitting out there, you know, along the road. They're all, you know, and they're not in church. They're all excited about their motorcycles, got all their garb on, they're looking at all that. They have something they rally around, but they're not fulfilling the plan of God as a human race. We're to fear God, give Him glory, we're to honor. Because the Scripture said all things were made by Him and for Him. And I know you can go a lot of places with that because Brother Branham said, you know, what about the sinner? Or what about the, you know, well, he's made to be the judge of that, right? But as I said, I'm speaking to the bride of Jesus Christ, what I believe to be, so we won't dwell on that other side. So we find out here in the Scriptures that God wants us to understand where we come from, because the Scripture said that God had formed out of the dust of the earth, He formed all the beasts of the field and all the fowl of the air. Now He's going to make a helpmate for Adam, and He's going to go somewhere and get this helpmate for Adam. And He reached down into earth, and He pulled out of the earth all the animals and all the fowls of the air, and He pulled from the earth, and they all come by Adam. And Adam had opportunity to look at everyone, look at its nature, and through the sonship and him being the Son of God, he had the wisdom and ability to name all those. He could look at them, he could identify it, he could see what it was, and he gave the names, and God said, that'll be the name. Whatever he says, whatever my son says, that's the way it's going to be. And so he names them all, but the Scripture said after God had brought all the animals, the beasts of the field, and fowl that was formed out of the dust of the earth, not any of those things formed out of the dust of the earth was a helpmate for Adam.
Right.
It could not satisfy this lofty, this high position that we're talking about to be the mate. And so the Scripture said that, I'm paraphrasing in my own way of thinking, so that God could not find out of the dust of the earth, He couldn't create out of the dust of the earth something that would satisfy the needs that Adam had. But the place, the only thing that could satisfy it was for God to reach into Adam and pull her out from Adam. And that's the way he could be satisfied, was creating this wife who was part of Adam. And God did that because God could have made her out of the dust of the earth. He could have done that. But He's showing you by pattern. He wants you to understand that we, as the bride of Jesus Christ, you are not of this world, Jesus said. You don't come from here, even though we're born in this world and we feel like that that's, but the Word of God is telling us this is not where you come from. God is not reaching into the dust of the earth, not into this earth trying to come up. And so we realize our flesh is dust of the earth. God's not reaching to that to find that bride of Jesus Christ. The thing he's reaching to is something that come right from him to begin with. Yeah. See? And that's what God is showing us right here in the Word. That we are part of Christ. Yeah. And Jesus said, he wasn't of this world, and he said, you're not of this world. And the world knows its own. And the world knows how to, you know, to answer to itself and whatever. But to something that's from some other dimension, the world doesn't know how to deal with that. That's why they reject us, and that's why they rejected him, because we're not part of this world, even though we're in the flesh of this world. So you know that they're going to reject you. He said, if they rejected me, they're going to reject you. If they did the things to him, they're going to do it to you. So we shouldn't expect it to be any different. Even in COVID, even in end times, when the pressures are coming, just realize what it is behind the scenes. It is Satan doing what he is, but we've got the answer. Amen. So God wants us to know where we come from, but we're not like all the others. We don't have to live like the animals out there in the barnyard. See, we have a high moral calling. They don't have the responsibility of morals out there. That's why animals can do what they do, but we have a moral calling, a moral responsibility before God. And that's one of the main reasons why a man doesn't want to admit God and submit to God. Because then if you admit that you belong to God and he's a high authority, now you've got to answer to him on the way you live. Yeah. They don't want that. It's all right. They're going to bow their knees to it anyway at some point. So we realize we don't come from here. We see that in Abraham and Sarah, they both had the same father. We see there. We remember where Brother Brown talked about how Abraham's Eliezer. So don't get a wife for Isaac from here. We go back to where we come from. Yeah. That's where you'll find this bride. And so he's finding the wife for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not among all this Gentile nonsense out here, but going right back to where the source, where Jesus come from, where Isaac come from. Going to go find that wife. She's going to come from the same place Isaac did. So this bride's going to come from the same place Jesus come from. Where did Jesus come from? He come from the mind of God. He was spoken word, and so is she. Spoken word of God living in human flesh on this earth, in corruptible flesh, but inside that corruptible flesh is seeds of God, and that's what God's looking for. Amen. So we see that in scriptures. And I'm not just saying these things, but I'm saying this because a vindicated voice has pointed to us and showed these things, that this Eliezer going out and getting that wife for Isaac, that's what that was a type of. See, so I can say that. I have the authority as a minister of this message with the backing of what the prophet told us and right coming from scripture laying right there. And so that takes it all the way back to God, what I'm telling you.
Right?
And so you can go to him with it. You can say, God, something in me come from you and is not part of this world. And that's the thing I want to grow and to become strong. And that's the thing I want to prosper in my life, no matter what happens out here in the natural, no matter whether they try to kill us all with whatever it is or whatever's going on. I want that thing that's inside me that come from you. That's what I'm looking to develop. And that's what I present before you. See? Causing our whole entire lives to be subject to the Word and say, I don't care what the world says, no matter what's going on, I'm going to focus on that which comes from God that's fed by this Word. So we can see that in these things. So, the Scripture said all things were made by him and for him, for his purpose. All things. Satan was made for the purpose to reveal Jesus Christ. This world was made. The universe was made. Everything was, all things were made by him, obviously, by the Word, and to serve his purpose, including woman. Including the church. Right? All things were made by him and for him. And so we can accept that. But then we say, then my very purpose here on this earth is for his purpose? Yes, it is. We have to accept that. So now, we realize, and so sisters might not understand this, but men probably do, but I'll tell you something you need to know, sisters, if you don't already know it. But a man needs to feel worth. A man needs to feel like he's worth something, that he's got a purpose in life, that he has those desires inside to be something. And I'm telling you in this service this morning that he cannot fully be what he's called to be unless he has a wife and a family. Right? Unless you have their special calling this to not be married. But you understand that a man in the natural for husbands and wives and so forth, the man needs to feel like he's needed. He needs to feel like that he can handle situations that's out of control, or he can provide things that you can't provide. And so there's nothing better than a wife and children to do that. What better way for a man to express that he is a man than for him to be surrounded by someone or people that he loves who are lacking, have needs that cannot provide them for themselves, but he can provide it. Think about that. So when he's got people he loves, he's concerned about it, he wants their well-being, he wants them to live and be blessed, and yet they cannot do it themselves, and he can. What do you think is going to happen? He's going to rise up happily and use what he is to express that and take care of that family and provide for them the things that they have need of. Why? Because he can and because he loves them. Right. See? And without that, there's a certain portion of man he'll never be able. You can say he can become an engineer and design some great mighty bridge or some building that lives, you know, that survive for hundreds and hundreds of years. And he might do that, but he still has missed something because he didn't have a wife and children. Right. See? So a man needs to feel worth. He needs to be able to do that. What better way than it for being a family? And he loves them, and so he'll happily take care of his own. And if he does not, if a man does not have a desire inside to do that, there's something wrong. He's perverted. There's something wrong inside him. If a man does not want to provide for his own people, for his own household, the scripture said he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If he won't take care of his own people. So it's natural. It's natural. It's a natural thing inside a man that to want to take care of his people. And if that's missing, there's something wrong. Yeah. Satan's got in there. That guy's perverted inside. There's something happened to him that's caused him to not be that, because that's what's really naturally there. And he has a longing for that, a longing to be able to provide things if he has it. And the only way that can fully be supplied is through this helpmate, through this family. A man wants to do those things, and that's what he's made to, but something's wrong if he doesn't have it. Brother Bram told us, you know, that a man could come in from work, back to the fact that she can supply the things he has need of. He'd come home from work tired, wore out, maybe beat down, and from the day's trials or whatever it is, and he can come in and she can have an environment in the home, food cooking, smells good, whatever. She can come and sit out on his lap and begin to talk to him and change the whole thing and cause him to realize, this is why I go fight the fights I do every day. This is why I work in the heat, or why I work hard to make a living. It's for this fellowship. For this one that would be down and out if I didn't do that. But I love that one, and I love my children, and I do that for them. But what if he comes home and it's all just a bunch of nonsense, sisters? What if the kids come home and they're all fussing, and he's like, "Boy, I come home, it's supposed to be a sanctuary to come home and have blessings and love and all that. I think I'll just go back to work." And there's a lot of men that do that. You see people go, oh, That men throw themselves to their job or their family went to nothing because they stayed at their job. I got news for you. Like I said last week, if there's a good fountain to drink from, why would I go somewhere else? Because people can say, oh, he ran off and he did this, or he became a workaholic and neglected his family. And that might be true, but why does he not want to be home with his family? Is she being the helpmate? Is she making a home the way it should be so he has a desire to be there with her? See what I'm saying? And it's a natural typing, and it's true. This is something that as married couples we need to think about. But it's all a type of the nature and the character and the environment that we as Christians should have, that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I got to go home. I got to go be with my loved one, with my mate, helpmate. The Holy Spirit, how long has it been since he come visit you of his own accord? See? Well, then if he's not, you have to say, well, what am I? I must be doing something. There must be an environment around me that's keeping him from wanting to come and fellowship with me. See? I'm just saying that there is a proper way for these things to work in natural and in spiritual. And so, his wife, you know, the wife can sit on his lap and can just draw out of him a renewal of a commitment. This is why I am who I am. This is why, because she holds the key of me being everything that I can be. And without her, I can't. Without a family, I can't. Does that sound right? Okay. She holds the key to releasing his manhood, to be a man. Which leads to him, the key to him being with fatherhood. She holds the key of really releasing that power of being a man. And thereby that also releases the power of him to be a father. And he can't be those things without her. He could be a president, he could be an engineer, he could be whatever, but he can't be a father, and he cannot be a husband unless he has that helpmate. Right? I'm talking about in God's economy.
Right.
The world lives like they want to, but So as a disclaimer, if somebody listens and says, you don't agree with this, you don't have to agree with it. But I'm speaking to what I believe is God's people. Okay? Truth that he wants us to live by. That both naturally and spiritually for us to live by. So she holds the key to that, him being a man, being fatherhood. But he holds the key of her future security and her motherhood. Because she can't be a mother, rightfully birth child and so forth, unless she has a husband. Unless that happens. And you can say, well, she can go adopt and all that. I understand. So they hold the key to one another. So you see, without a man and woman in holy matrimony, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. There's no fulfillment there. And we see this in the scriptures with Adam needing a helpmate. God knew what he's talking about. Adam needed someone to fit this that I'm talking about. This relationship. So God, Adam needed that. And she was the answer. And he made her weaker. He made her in need of things. He made her not as giver of seed, but receiver of seed. He made her that way, so she needs him. They have to have each other. And that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, if she'll pull that up, 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verse 11 and 12. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. So he's telling you, a man can't say, oh, I don't need no woman. You wouldn't even be here without a woman.
Right.
Because you were born by her, and you need her now. Which tells you that God needs a bride. Jesus Christ needs a bride.
Right?
He's going to have one. He can't quieten that without. The only way he can satisfy it is to have that. See? And so, A woman says, I don't need a man. You do too. The church needs him. Yeah. And without him, they're not redeemed. That's why the scripture said the husband is the savior of the body, the bride. She is totally undone without a husband. That's a scriptural pattern right there. That if she's a widow, look at the condition she's in. If she's out running around and she's not underneath her father's house, she's got to have that leadership, that headship over her, either her father or husband, or she's in a terrible place. So that's why Paul said those things. So no man should be going around and acting like he's everything and his wife is nothing. And the wife shouldn't be going around the other way around, and neither one should be treating the other one as a floor mat to wipe your feet on.
Right.
Now I said all this, now let's switch to the spiritual side and bring it to the message. Because I told you, he can't be fully everything that he is unless he has her. And Brother Branham tells us, it makes perfect sense when you look at this, and this gets into the area that the world don't want to talk about this kind of stuff, that she was made not in the original creation, but she was a byproduct, because for her to be in the original creation, Satan could have never touched her, never got to her, never deceived her. So he had to not, because it wouldn't be coming God in his original. So that she was a byproduct, and therefore he purposely made it to where she could fall. He didn't make her fall, but he made it to where she could. It's like he didn't make Satan fall, but he made it to where Satan could fall. He made Satan beautiful, and he made him powerful, and with wisdom, and all kinds of anointing, and all this kind of stuff, but he also made him to where that could be corrupted. And Satan corrupted himself. And so he made the woman where she could fall, knowing good and well that that's exactly what's going to happen. And people don't want to talk about that. But everything was made by him and for him. And so Brother M says, look, he could not be a savior unless something was lost. He couldn't fully be like the man can be, fully what he is, without having someone he loves that is need of the very thing he can be. And then by that arrangement, now he can be everything that he's supposed to be, because he has subject that he can express that to. So he could never, God could never be a healer unless there were someone sick that he could heal. He could never be a savior unless someone was lost, see? So you see, the whole plan of redemption is patterning out the same thing as this husband and wife, that God would love his subjects, and they are in need and can't provide for themselves, but he's got what they need. And he'll happily have it. It's his own desire. This is what he wants. He wants to be able to rise up and take care of the needs of his people, because they can't provide it for themselves. That's the whole arrangement. There's nothing wrong with being weak in ourselves. Because that's the way it is. Because it's through that weakness that he can be strong, and it can allow him to be everything he said he'd be. He can't be a comforter unless somebody needs comforting.
Right.
Well, if you're needing comforting, that means you've gone through something that caused it.
Yeah.
If you're sick, it's something's caused it. If you're lost, something's caused it. And he's the remedy. We're talking about she was the answer to him. He's the answer to her.
Right.
Because of her weakness. So that's the whole arrangement. We're supposed to be needy. Because all things were made by him and for him. Now, if he made us all needy, and we had need Savior, and we needed to be healing, we needed comforter, and he never provided that and made it all right, that'd be terrible. But he does provide it. That before there was ever the problem, the solution was already in God's mind before the world was, before the problem ever come along. Because God had already had it figured out there.
Right.
Amen. So, the major point here I want to stress right here, that she has to be weaker in order to draw out of him all the attributes that he is. You have to come to needs every day. You have to come up to trials in order for him to. But brother, sister, I can tell you, I can guarantee you, it is his desire to rise up and supply those needs. But you've got to come to that place where you have those needs first. And so, but it's not just that you have it, but that you come to Him and recognize, I have this. I can't do this, Lord. I can't take care of this situation. I can try, I can do this, but every time I put my hand to it, it just gets worse. And every time I speak to my loved one, they just get a little more defiant, and just everything, whatever it is, the more I try, it just gets worse and worse. Lord, I'm coming to You. You've got to take this from me. I'm bringing it to You, Lord. And watch what He does. He'll do it. He'll take care of it. But you got to bring it to Him. And so that point that I'm wanting to stress here is that she has to be that needy one. She has to be that one that has things that He can provide.
Right.
And that unleashes His attributes to be those things. Now what if she pulls up Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, what if she was independent? What if we did that? What if we in our homes, if the wife says, I don't need him, would that make him feel like he had worth? Would that make him feel like he was loved? You see where this independent thing comes from? Right out of the pits of hell. See? To create more sorrow in the lives of people. And women getting that way, and men running off, and both of them going toward the same-sex marriages and all that stuff, the whole thing. And it's all because they've gotten away from this right here that I'm talking about. But see, in the scriptures, what if we, the church, say, I don't really need Christ. Days of miracle are past. I don't need that. We've got doctors to go to, so we don't have to have a healer. Does that make him feel worth? See what I'm saying? I'm all right. Everything's okay. I'm not lost. What does that make him feel like? But, oh, brother, sister, when you come to him, say, Lord, woe is me.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm undone. I am over with. Without You, I got to have You.
Yeah.
Now, what does that make him feel like? That draws from him those attributes that he desires to be in the first place. But what if she's like this? Because this is the type of the New Testament church, seven churches in seven ages. And that day, seven women should take hold of one man, Christ Jesus, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by the name to take away our reproach. And that's what the churches know. The churches know we've got to call ourselves Christians, but they don't want what He has to feed them. And they don't want the apparel He wants to provide for them. Because remember, that's the thing, according to the scriptures, the husband has to provide is food and raiment and duty of marriage. Right? He has to provide so that she has plenty to eat, nourishment, and she has clothing to wear. Right? And that they have a relationship. He has to do that. And so, but they say, I don't want to have the apparel he provides, and I don't want to have the food He provides for me, but I do want to be called a Christian church. But they deny His word, because that's what they're clothed with. If they'll let Him clothe them, then they're clothed with the word, but they don't want that. If they let Him feed them, He'll be feeding them the word, but they don't want that. See? So a New Testament broke up into seven church ages. And of every age, there was a false church there. And every one of those false churches in their own day and in their own way said that right there. And I ask you that in those ages, how did that make him feel? Did that make him feel like the man that he is? The creator, the savior, the one who can provide for his church? No, it didn't. The very thing they needed, they rejected. And yet he's sitting over there like they call him to that feast. Invite him to the feast, and then he's sitting over in the corner and neglected, without his feet washed, and not even, he's the one they should have been all looking to. But that's what churches do. We invite Jesus into our service every Sunday morning, but Jesus, you go sit down over there and you keep quiet, because we got our own program.
Right.
And don't you say a word, see, making a mockery of him. That's what they do. So what if we as individuals, or our wives, or what if we to Christ? Well, I don't need him. Lord, I'll handle this. I got this situation. I know, but I'm gonna take care of this. No, the thing that we need to do is recognize I can't do this, and then go to him. And that draws from him the very thing he wants. Oh, he loves, brother, sister, he loves to be able to come and provide those things. And when we recognize that we cannot handle these things, and we go to him sincerely, Lord, I got this situation, I've messed up, and I need you, Lord, to help and fix this situation, then we're fulfilling a great portion of our duties as a helpmate when we express to him our needs. Right? That's exactly right. So it's just like, you know, oh, I got another problem, you know. And instead of going to him right off the bat, we go elsewhere. It doesn't make him feel like much of the savior, creator, healer, comforter man that he is. So when we're faced with situations that we cannot handle, when we go to him, we're fulfilling a big part of our job as being his helpmate. And by the way, every situation we come to is a situation we need him for.
Yeah.
Amen. We don't want to think, you know, Satan to think, oh, this one's not too bad. No, we need him. So now we're starting to ramp down here. Looks like we're doing good on time. We talk about, at the end time, we talk about returning to Eden. Remember Brother Bram talked about the threefold purpose of God. The first, God would reveal himself in Christ, and then he would, through that revelation and revealing himself in Christ, he would get preeminence in the church, which would be the bride part. And then with that husband and wife, he would take them back to Eden condition. We talk about that, and that's such an awesome concept. And so, but you realize that in Eden, as we read there in the scriptures, and I'll say to Aunt Mary and Uncle Richard that even stuff that they were reading this morning is pertinent. We realize that in Eden, they were both naked and not ashamed. You know, truth. We're talking about naked truth. Because the Word of God is truth. And when you lay it out there completely the way it is, it's naked truth. Right? Nothing hidden, full view, right there to see everything about it. And so the scripture said that in Eden, Adam and Eve, they were both naked. And they were not ashamed. And I always think, you know, well, you know, that because they weren't aware of sin and all that. But I want to take it a different direction when we look at that. So everything about him was revealed to her. There's nothing hid anymore. Everything about him she could see, and she was not ashamed of what she saw. And she was not ashamed to receive and embrace what she saw. So at the end time, God is revealing his word and we're making the revelation of Jesus Christ, and find out that there were things about him that we're being shown that the rest of the world is not being shown, that has been hid through ages, but now it's revealed only to his bride. And she has opportunity to see that, and she has an opportunity to either reject or accept what she sees. So as we are returning back to Eden condition, which getting preeminence in her, as we go back, you realize that he becomes clear and naked truth before us. That everything about him we see and we like, we love. I know it's kind of an adult topic, but this is it. See, that we look at. And we everything we see there, and we're not rejecting anything. Like I said, if my wife said, I'll marry you, but I don't like your ears, you got to get rid of them, I wouldn't have married you. Right? See? So you understand that they were both naked. So she could see him, and she was not offended. And in the scriptures, talking about where they came, and they said, disciples of John came and said to ask him, are you the one, Lord, are you the one? And I remember John was a forerunner to Christ. And now John has done his forerunning, and now Christ is on the scene, and now John sends disciples and says, hey, are you the one, or should we look for another one to come? And Jesus says, you go back and you tell that message of the hour, the people who are just in the message of the hour under John, the forerunner, and haven't moved on over into Christ, you go back and tell them what you see happening. Tell them you see the blind eyes are being opened and the lame healed. And he ends it by saying, and blessed is everyone who's not offended in me, because he was the word coming to pass. And that's what I can say right now. People that say, they said in this message, but they want to continue to put it all on John and continue to hold back there and refusing to realize what's going on in the bride right now. All I can say to you is just go back and tell them, what do you see happening? What's going on? And by the way, coupled with this coming of this forerunner, coupled with this revealing of Jesus Christ now here in his bride, coupled with that is the statement, and blessed is he who is not offended of me, because she cannot be offended what she sees, because he's naked before her. And if she's offended in that and she pulls away from that, she cannot be in that room with him. Right? No matter how you slice this message up, it all comes back to that word and embracing all of it. Amen. So he was totally, completely revealed to her. But you know what else? She was totally naked before him. Now we'll all say, yeah, he knows everything about me. He's always known everything about me. But we're talking about going back to Eden condition, where she's going to understand everything about the revelation of Jesus Christ, and nothing about that revelation is going to offend her. She's going to want and embrace and take into her everything that is. Everything. But she's also naked before him. And so she has to come to him. I'm not really dwelling so much on what he sees from his opinion, but she has to come to a comfortable place in her own life to realize everything I am, he knows all about it. I'm naked before him. And it must not be a problem, because he's revealing himself to me. So I must be his choice. Because he's disrobing himself in front of me, and I know he sees me. And I'm okay with that. And you have to be okay with that. You can't be ashamed. To go back to Eden, you can't be ashamed to stand before him and say, Lord, I'm weak. I'm nothing. I missed the mark. And it's not a problem to him, because he knows that he's going to provide everything that you... That's the whole arrangement. The whole arrangement is that you are weak, and that you lack, and you miss, and you fall short. Because he's the answer to that, and it makes a man out of him when he can rise up and help you in this hour when everything's going the way it is. That's his whole desire. And so we have to come to the realization that he sees me, and I'm okay with the fact that I have these failures, that I fall short, because he's my answer. He's my answer. And I'm coming to terms with his program, that if he could look at me and see me in all my failures and all my, and he still says, I want that one, then we have to accept his choice and say, yes, Lord, I'm naked before you. And in all my failures and all my faults, if I'm your choice, then yes. I'm not offended at you. I see your revelation. I see your word, and I'm not offended, and I'm not trying to run away from any of that. I want that. But you have to come to terms with the fact that he knows your weakness, and that's okay, because you're still his choice. You're still his bride. Amen? That's what makes him the man of the hour. That's what makes him become one who will take care of his own household and is not an infidel. This modern age, they make him out to be who knows what. And so he's not bothered by her weaknesses because he knows he's the one providing it. So you see, the key to bringing forth life, the key, I'm talking about God's way, the key to bringing forth life, the key of bringing forth children to Him, the key lies in that relationship of nakedness in a secret place where there's nothing hidden between Him and her. There's where it happens. If we want to be the bride of Jesus Christ, if we want to be that helpmate for the Creator of the universe, we have to accept His terms and His condition and come His way. And if you know that He is revealing this message to you and He's revealing things to you that you know you can't even talk to other people about because they don't, but you see it, then you know that He's revealing Himself to you. And you know you're naked before Him, and He must be doing that even in all your weaknesses and all your failures. He's still doing it. I've said that many times, and I'm thinking, man, He'll never have nothing to do with me. And here He comes again, revealing more word, wooing me to Himself. And so it's a mindset that we come to say, yes, Lord, I embrace You. Even in all my failures and weaknesses, I accept You. You come live in me. You come live in me. And brother, sister, when that environment in a secret place of nakedness between you and the Word, and you come together, life's going to come forth. Follow me? Life. And Brother Randall, that's what the whole entire aspect of the third pool is. That's what that, to me, that's what that little room represented. Not a public show. Great, mighty ministries on the pulpit and doing all the things that maybe Brother Bram did, or what we have ministers now that are godly brothers, that's fine, and they have dynamic ministry, but that's not it. What it is something that takes place secretly in your heart from the preaching of the Word, from what you're exposed to, but your embracing of what is revealed to you as it's revealed to you, and you coming into unity with that in a secret relationship between you and Almighty God that is not for other people to see. Oh, we might come out of the room and they might see the effects of it, but you see what I'm saying? And until we come to that, I don't care what the world says and their church system, but until that bride becomes impregnated by Him, and she can't do that God's way until she comes naked before Him and He's naked before her. He has to reveal Himself to her. Then life will come. Amen? And for the first time in the history of humankind, there's a bride on the church, on the world right now that can actually do that. Because until this day, He wasn't revealed like that. Remember, it was in time you're going to find that bride. And there we find it, the bride that's made herself ready. Revelation 19. Right. He found her, He provided her, and in His eyes, she's without spot, she's without blemish, she's without wrinkle, without any such thing. He's provided it, and we have to accept that. And I always go back to that story Brother Bram told on about the armor meatpacking guy. Great, mighty businessman up in Chicago that owned armor meatpacking. And of course, you know, they get cattle, their meat from farms all across the West and so forth. And the son of the armor meatpacking man comes down to the West to some town, I don't know where it was, but come out of there with, and he's looking for a wife. He's the guy that owns all of it, and he's looking for a wife. And of course they know, and all they have a big shindig, and they know he's here, and all the churches know that Jesus Christ is to have a bride. And they all want to be that bride. But Brother Ram tells them the story about how that all the sisters or their cousins or whatever they were, and all dressed up with all their pomp and all their stuff going on. But there's one little lady there, and she wasn't pretty, she wasn't famous, she wasn't out there having a big shindig, she was behind the scene, washing dishes, taking care of the home, things like that. And that man, he sees all that. He sees all these women and all this. He sees what the whole world, they're all like that out there. They all got their own program that they're putting forth. They're all like that. But that's not what he was looking for. So he slipped away from all that shindig that was going out on the streets there that night, whatever. He saw her coming and pouring dishwater out. And he kept watching her night after night. And finally he made, arranged it to where he could meet with her when she come out, and he spoke to her. Here she's not got fancy clothes on. She's probably barefooted, got an apron, probably got dirty whatever. She's not all made up. She's not like the rest of them out there in the world. Right? But there's something he sees in her that he doesn't see out there. Jesus Christ is not looking for what all these big church world people is presenting. He's looking for something different. As we're looking for a different sound, he's looking for a different thing. Okay. See, we're not looking for all that out there, what they say. We're not looking at all the screams and cries of what's going on in Sodom. We're looking for a different sound. He's looking for something different. And you want to be something, listen, you young people, there's such a peer pressure upon our people to go out and pierce themselves and create some, and they're, what they're doing is they're picking something that's shocking, piercing themselves and getting all kinds of stuff and to make a statement out there. You want to be something that the rest of the world's not. Right? And that is to be a real Christian. Yeah. A real Holy Ghost-filled child of God that will not submit to this world and its devices and will not try to look like the world. So he asked her, she came out to show him this one. He says, you know why I'm here? You know? He says to her, will you be my wife? Will you marry me? Brother Ram tells us. He says, why did Brother Ram tell this? Why did he tell this story? It was in the seals. Why? He told this for a reason. Because this is exactly what's going on. He has come down through the opening of the seals. He is here to take that wife, and he's revealing himself to her. There is an invisible union of the bride of Christ going on. He's revealing himself there, but it's not to all that fancy bunch out there, but it's to that one that's a nobody, that's got character. And he says to her, she says, me? Me marry you? Yeah. You. The one he's talking to. It's the first time in history there's a church that can do it, because this is the first time that revelation, those seals have been opened, and that has come. And to tie that to the token message could not be displayed until evening time. And we're now at evening time. And the token message is the same thing I'm talking about. It's Christ revealing himself, and you're embracing of that. You're embracing of that regardless of what the world says. Because out there, it's screams and cries of death in Egypt. But there's safety for you if you're in there and closed up behind that token. So this is the first time that it could ever happen in history, is right then. That truly a church in this world can truly become the helpmate for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But you can't be mindful of all this worldly stuff. You can't be trying to look like the world, influenced by the world. You have to be totally, completely surrendered to and focused upon letting that word, embracing it and letting it produce in you that life. Amen. That's the total sum of it. And so that's what it is to be helpmate to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was, as I was pointing out just a little while ago, and I didn't ask her to put this on the screen, but I'll read it to her. I'll tell her if she wants to pull it up. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6 through 10. But that point I was stressing a while ago is that we're supposed to be the weaker vessel. We're supposed to be meek and come to him. And that's what he needs. That's what he wants. That fulfills something in his life. And we see this here in Paul's life. Paul says, for though I desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my weakness is made perfect, or for my strength, excuse me, is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and in necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Look at that. Paul's saying, I'm supposed to be weak. Why? Because that's the attraction. That's the attraction. That I've got to have him. You've got to have him. So he says, I'm supposed to be weak. But listen, my grace, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. And we want to stand and say, Lord, I see you. I see the revelation. You're before me, but I'm having a problem with me. Because you're glorious, but I'm terrible. And he says, listen, I'm revealing myself to you, aren't I? My grace is sufficient to cover the problems that you have. Don't worry about it. Because in your weakness, he's made strong. And Paul actually said, through his weakness, then he's made strong. You're made strong through your weakness. As long as you recognize your weakness and you go to the one who's the answer to that weakness. And when you come back from talking to him, now you're coming back in strength. And it's a daily process of what life is that it's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. And we have to just die out of this world and we go to him and say, here's my situation. And brother, sister, when he addresses it, you can come back with peace. You can come back rejoicing. Praise God. No problem now. Why? Because we recognize our weakness and we went to him and he's now taking care of it. See? Amen. Lord bless you. Let's let the musicians come. I can keep right on and on. Just go on and on. Let's just keep talking about this good old way. You know what I'm saying? Just keep right on. What a glorious message. What a feeling it is to be faced with something that you know you can't deal with. And you go to him, and just in moments' time, he's totally, completely removed it. Something that you're like, my whole life is going to be changed because I can't get rid of this problem. And just within minutes, it's done. Brother, sister, that's worthy of worship to him. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, because that you have sent it our way. And we say, Lord, these things. You know, when we talk about ourselves being your bride, we're not being vulnerable, Lord. We're saying this because we believe with you revealing yourself the way you are to us, that we are your choice. And Lord, it's not my desire to make people feel boastful or any way, but actually to recognize in humility their position and to know that even in their weaknesses, that they are your choice. Just ask him, Lord, that you just help us to come to full understanding that these things, this revelation and this grace that is sufficient for us to be who we are in this hour. Lord, as I see that in the scriptures, Paul's weakness, he could pray for the sick and all the, even raise the dead and all the things happening, yet he had this weakness and people could look at it and he could look at it and say, how can this be? He can't be a messenger of God because he's got this weakness, but he was. He was your messenger, Lord. And your bride in this hour, she has to be identified with those things, with those weaknesses. And she might say to herself, well, how can it be? But it's true, Lord. And that's my desire, is for your people to come to understand that Lord, you're among them. If they are loving this word and this revelation of you, you're among them, Lord. And you'll take care of everything that comes along, whether it's vaccines or no vaccines, whether it's a tyrant government or no tyrant government. Lord, it's all with you. And we just want to approach you when we see our needs and ask you to take this, take our lives, Lord God, and just pull it up to yourself. As long as we're with you, Lord, as long as we come back with your voice addressing our situation, then we'll be happy. Let the world do what they want. Let the world pass by. But Lord, we want you. So we're asking God that you would help us become that true helpmate to the Word, the living God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and worship this morning.